Is the Burning Festival a playground for rich kids, or is it something deeper? In 2023, there was a national disaster claimed for Black Rock City, and it triggered a massive outrage. And as a two-times burner, I was completely stunned. I've been to these events in 2022 and in 2018, and I experienced something completely different what the outrage was about. And what I can tell about this festival, some people say that we shouldn't call it festival, let's overlook this part, but what I can talk about Burning Man is that when you experience it once, it's a completely different thing than what you see online. And there's various reasons for that. And I really would like to address this outrage that was out on social media coming from various people saying absolutely untrue things about this community. So I would like to share the light, to spread the light a little bit on what this whole event is about and how did it actually heal me in various aspects. I know it's a big word, but hear me out. Welcome to the show about new ideas on how we live, work, and connect. This is Bori Vik, your host, and in the following episode, together with my guests and listeners, we are again in search of something different. So what is the Burning Man Festival, or what is this whole experience? The first thing that people usually say about this event is that we should not call it a music festival. It is definitely not a music festival. If it's anything, it's an art festival. But I usually like to call it an experience. It's a human experience on, can we build a city that works on a completely different system, completely different guidelines and principles than our life outside of Black Rock City? And how I see it is that the experience is working immaculately. I think it's fantastic to see how 80,000 people can live together within their own terms, peacefully, happily, partying their asses off. And not only partying, but also creating something really out of this world. So when we talk about Burning Man, we have to mention how amazingly they're handling the principles. So we have these 10 principles, and at first I thought that it's something similar to just, you know, some companies publish their values and there's like a value chart, like I believe in this and I believe in that, and nobody actually takes care of this. But in this organization, what it does, in order to buy the ticket, you kind of need to go through various questionnaires. And this is how they teach you about the principles in the questionnaires. They ask you scenarios as if you would be doing your driving license. And they would ask you like, okay, so you see, I don't know, a cigarette butt on the plier. What do? I bike next to it. A, I stop and pick it up and take it away. B, C, I don't know, something crazy as well. So obviously you pick it up and then with these questionnaires, they are making sure that everybody understands what's going on. I've never expected 80,000 people to comply with these rules or principles without an authority. And one of the best cases that I can tell you about what's the difference between a principle and a rule and how amazingly people comply with these principles was on my first burn. I think I was there already a few days, couple of days. And I went to look for a bathroom. We have porta potties. So I went to look for one and I really didn't find any. And I was just really desperately wanted to go to the bathroom. And I turned to a smaller street and I found a guy who was walking between parking cars and he was just coming out from these parking cars. And I was like, hi, hey, have you seen a porta potty nearby? And his answer was like, oh, well, I just went inside these cars and I just peed here. Now you have to know that it's absolutely prohibited. It's in the principles. Leave no trace means that you don't pee on the playa, you don't throw anything on it. It's not only the trash, but also the gray water that you bring with you, that you need to take out from the whole event. So when this guy told me that he peed on the playa, I was like, hey, but like, I don't think that's... And then he looked at me and was like, no, don't worry. Nobody can see you. So at this very moment, I understood what's the difference between rules and principles. So most of the society got used to that you have somebody who tells you how to behave. And you do it because of fear of punishment or because you want to, I don't know, yeah, avoid punishment, or also you might think that you're gonna get something out of this. So you're going to get a reward if you comply with the rules. Mainly the first one though. But if you're talking about principles, then you understand why we do things. This is why, for example, I would always pay bus tickets or public transport tickets wherever I am, even though in many countries, in many cities, including Budapest and Berlin, and I think somehow in Lisbon as well, you can go without showing that you have a ticket. In Berlin and Budapest for sure. And I always buy the tickets, and not because I'm afraid that I'm gonna get punished if they don't, but I understand if I don't pay and if I don't use up my tickets, then there's not going to be enough money for the buses and for the public transport to survive. I understand the concept and I voluntarily participate in building a life based on those concepts. And this is something that I think this guy didn't understand. And many of our population, unfortunately, don't understand that we need to build words where we are building from understanding the basic concepts of paying tax and paying for the public transport. Or you understand. Hopefully. So we have all these principles. We have various principles on Burning Man. And I would say that the reason why it works is because people understand the core concept. For example, Leave No Trace is one of the most well-known principles. And the Leave No Trace works because if we leave the place in a way that it's trashy, and when we mean trashy, it means that even the tiniest matter out of space, what we call moop, can be found after us, the legislation is not going to let us go back again next year. And it took Burning Man, the organization, some time until they found the Black Rock Desert in order to build Black Rock City. Previously, it was on the beach. So we know out of these 30 years that it's really important that we keep it also because it's the most epic place to have this experience with the dust storm and with, you know, whatever. It's such a beautiful canvas for all the art that is out there. So most of the people who are out there understand that the reason why you need to not throw that cigarette butt or pee on the playa or do leave your car there is because you are not going to be able to come back. The second thing is that you understand that there is a community effort, and community effort is another principle of Burning Man. And there's another thing that I want to talk about based on this rain that fall on the playa this year. The community effort means that we do most of the things together. So even though we have radical self-reliance, another principle, it means that we bring most of our gifts together. And it can be with a camp that you go with. It can be with your Burner family. I have a couple of friends of mine with whom we always go to Burning Man. And always, I've been twice. but it means that you are thinking together and you're using resources together. And many people thought that you know, people would go crazy if something as a national disaster happens, then they would go against each other. Obviously, these people are having the massive fun as they always do. So here's another thing that I wanted to get to, and one of my favorite, very, very favorite principles that I just recently understood in my previous burn. I didn't go this year, by the way, so I was not part of the mud therapy. So immediacy is one of my favorite. I'm going to read what it says. So immediacy says, Burning Man encourages participants to engage in the present moment and experience even directly. It's all about being here and now rather than focusing on the past or the future. Well, I remember the first time I scanned through the program magazine. We kind of have like a little book. And there was one of my favorite DJs playing, John B. I mean, yeah, it used to be one of my favorite DJs. And it's Drum and Bass DJ, and I was super stoked. I'm like, he's playing on the blah, blah, blah art car, like the Oasis art car. And I looked around to my other burner friends, and I was like, so where is the Oasis art car? And they were all started to laugh, because that is not an existing thing, that you know where things are. Art cars are moving objects. Therefore, you can't really prepare to find one of your favorite DJs unless they're playing on the two, now only one, big art cars, which is Robot Heart, and we used to have Mayan Warrior until it got on fire. Not on Burning Man. But the thing is that as these art cars are always on the run and always moving, it's super difficult to find them. It's extremely difficult to locate anybody, which eventually gets you to the mood of like, you just go out there and experience whatever crazy thing is about to happen to you. And I promise you, if you go without an agenda, crazy things are going to happen to you. And if you go with an agenda, still these crazy things are going to happen to you, but you're going to try to get to your place, which is going to be impossible, frankly. There's always something comes up. Like, there's a bunny race that I always, always try to attend because my player name is Bunny. Another interesting story of mine. Anyways, there's always these crazy things happening. So one of the immediacy, they actually made, I think, a joke because of immediacy and around this. They said that there is going to be this famous DJ playing in one of the camps at one point. This was last year. I don't remember who was the famous. He was like a relatively famous guy, like not like, I don't know, David Guetta or Tiesto or so, not like that level, but like quite a big DJ. And everybody showed up in around that camp. It was massive. And then it turns out that, of course, it was a joke. He is not showing up, as usually nobody shows up in camps, only in art cars. And we don't really have these enormous DJs. We have Monolink and Jan Blomqvist. Monolink always comes. So there's a few DJs that are usually showing up, but not like giant artists. I'm sorry, Monolink, I love you. I think it's still like, you know, not really like on the popular side. You still would find people who don't know these DJs. So it was also a joke because it was to show like, don't plan, don't try to, you know, go to these concerts. It's a different environment. So the reason why I wanted to bring here the immediacy principle is because I think most of us understand that immediacy also means that you are not taking pictures. I usually leave my phone in my tent because I just don't want to get out of this whole experience. And I can't really explain, but most of my friends also don't take too many pictures. I think I had like 5 pictures from the previous year when I went, and then maybe like 20 from the year when I attended before. Because I want to stay present. I just want to be there. I don't want to take pictures and videos and put together like a story in my head on how I'm going to make a video out of this later when I'm coming out of the playa. It's not something that many people do. And I think it's because of immediacy. But I barely saw people on their phones First of all, like, there, you cannot really use phones because there is no coverage around. But secondly, I barely see people taking pictures. I had, like, once I think I took out, like, 2 hours when we roamed around and took some pictures, and maybe some of the arts we do. And then, of course, there's the influencers. And then this is the point I would like to take in this podcast episode, is that there are influencers who are coming specifically to take pictures. And what's even worse, they're coming to take pictures because they want to sell something. So they use this, they maybe get some clothes in order to promote that clothing brand. And I once saw this Sparkle Pony posing, and there was this helper guy who just roamed around with, like, a hand hoover. Is that a thing you call that? Like, you know what I mean. Like, it's like a hoover. And it was set not to suck the dust, but to throw the, I don't know, maybe it was like a leaf blower. I think it was a leaf blower. Sorry, guys. It was a leaf blower. So behind her, this guy just runs around with a freaking leaf blower to make more dust behind her on the picture. And she's, like, so clean, which on Saturday is impossible. Like, you're there for a week already. So probably a weekend warrior who was just taking pictures of that particular moment. I was not a fan to see that. And I'm going to be honest, there were so many people who tried to ruin their pictures and I was laughing my ass off. And we should not be so judgmental. I understand. If this makes them happy, then okay, I prefer to go around and experience instead of pose and then look how my, just be careful how my ass looks in the particular picture that I'm shooting, or is my posture is okay. Like, I don't have time and the energy for that. But good for them if they want to do that. What I'm trying to say, that the picture that you see on the internet is made from this 3 to 5% of the people who are out on Burning Man. I'm telling you that this is not the average burner, but because of the average burner is not bringing their phone to the playa or not really taking too much pictures, you will never gonna see them, but you're gonna see the influencers. So the whole world have this crazy idea about Burning Man because some people make money out of this, which is, by the way, against the rules, because there's decommodification, which means that you cannot really make money out of Burning Man. And if you sell the clothes that you are taking pictures in Burning Man, then that's decommodification, and you still don't understand what the hell is this whole experience about. Yeah. So while I understand what happens when somebody sees all these pictures, they think that, yeah, these are rich, spoiled people, because these outfits cost a freaking fortune and I would never be able to afford those, nor I want to wear them. And then the next thing, what is wrong about this is that they all look the same. They all look the same. They have these hats, their sparkles, their everything. They look, there's zero freaking creativity on what they're wearing. There is no radical self-expression. Another principle of Burning Man. So, radical self-expression. I'm going to be honest, I'm not judging too much on this one. I know that it sounded like a little bit. But if you can be whoever the hell you want to be, the first question for me, okay, but who I want to be, you know? So the first time I went to Burning Man, I checked, like, Pinterest boards on what people usually wear, and then I tried to comply with those fashion trends, and, you know, I tried to look like a burner. And so the first year was still me trying to figure out how to look like a burner, which, like, did not understand radical self-expression. The second burn of mine, I started to understand that radical self-expression means that you can definitely wear whatever you want. And that means you can wear jeans and and a t-shirt if you want. You can be naked. Not too many people are naked. That's another misconception. A little bit later, I'll talk about being naked, because that was also super fun when I did that. But not too many people are naked, actually. So this radical self-expression, when I realized that I can express anything with my clothes or how I'm dressing up on that particular day, then it created another door. So I recommend you, if you're planning to go on Burning Man, I know that the first time it's going to be difficult to figure out what you want to wear. I saw once a girl, I really liked it. She was wearing a patient gown, a hospital gown, and I loved it. I loved it. I think it was amazing. And yeah, it was just funny, you know? It's like all these sparkle ponies and steampunk ladies. She was wearing a hospital gown. Obviously, everybody wanted to hang out with her. It was super funny. So yeah, that was what I wanted to say about radical self-expression. I know that it's difficult. And when you go first, there was a friend of ours coming with us in this second one. And then when I told her that I'm a bunny, because that's my burner name. And I'll tell you about it a little bit later about my burner name. But when I told her that my player name is Bunny, and then she's like, okay, but like, what kind of bunny? It's like, you don't look like a Playboy bunny. Like, is it like a Donnie Draco bunny? I'm like, no, it's just, I have bunny ears. And then I have weird stuff around it. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I have my own style. And that's a really liberating thing to have. And I'm sorry for everybody who tried to stick to one specific outfit and or style of outfit. And I'm really sorry for those who think that you need to buy these things, because that's a problem why people think that Burning Man is expensive, because they think that you need to buy these clothes. You don't have to buy these clothes at all. There's like, you can go for a thrift store. That's what I usually do. And just pair a few things that you can be creative. It's an art form to dress as well, the way you want to express yourself. And it can be your own style. There's another interesting thing. So we used to have Tutu Tuesdays. I've no idea what happens to them right now, but last year, so there's also a magazine or newspaper, burner newspaper out every year. There was this one article about Tutu Tuesday is done. So Tutu Tuesday is supposed to be when everybody's wearing a tutu. But then this article was like, this is against the whole radical self-expression. If you want to wear a tutu, wear it on any other day but Tuesday. So that was really, really fun to read. And I felt really stupid on my tutu on Tuesday. So this is about radical self-expression. Why do you see all these pictures? Why do you think that they're all these rich kids? I hope that I start to clear a little bit out the air on this one. So meanwhile, I have to say, I am judging a little bit these people and I'm trying to get over this, but I feel that it's a bit difficult for me to see the image that they're portraying about us, and because they are not really understand what is going on. It feels like they are not understanding what's going on. And don't get me wrong, I have a few influencer friends. I also have influencer contracts and I go to Burning Man. I have people who have followers and go to Burning Man and they don't make money out of it, and then they don't take pictures. So hashtag not all influencers do this. I think one of the most important things that I took away from my first burn was that I felt that it's not the fact that I'm not being judged of who I am, because I think I rarely am afraid of that, or like on a conscious level, but the liberty of not judging people based on their outfits. Unless they're sparkle ponying. So yeah, I'm still struggling with that. Let's just put a pin on that for a moment. But most of the people, because they're like wearing all sorts of different outfits, you cannot really go to your classic ways of judging people. Like, this is probably a poor person, this is probably a rich person, this is probably, I don't know, I don't even know. You have nothing to go from. You actually need to go and talk to this person to figure out what their core beliefs and values, and you cannot read it through how you usually would do. And I know that you would say that you are probably not a judgy person, or you say that you are, but everybody does that. When we go out, we judge by the clothes and by the hairstyle and by the style that this person is representing. Even if you don't have a style, that's a statement in our society. You are the guy who doesn't have a style. So it was such a liberating feeling as me, as someone who I was brought up in a really judgmental environment. And yeah, I get used to that. I judge people right away from the sleeve. I talked about this in the previous episode as well. And it was such a liberating thing that I don't need to do this. Because it really drags you down all the time to be in judgment and to judge other people. And that's why it's so sad that this is the least judgmental community I've ever participated in. And if you listen to this podcast, you will know that I am hanging out with a lot of communities. I'm also a nerd about communities. I love how they're helping us to evolve. But Burning Man is the least judgmental community I've ever been to. And it broke my heart that this year there were just so many judgments. And I know that the people usually don't care about these kind of things, but I'm afraid that just because people see burners a certain way, I'm a little bit afraid that it's going to change to actually be what people portray us to be. It's going to change to that particular festival of rich kids. I hope not. All right, there's another thing that I heard in a recent radio show. It's a Hungarian radio show, so don't look it up unless you speak Hungarian. It was one of the top, you know, like popular, I think there's like 1 million listeners of that show, and we are like a country of like 10 million people, so a lot of people listening to it. And this guy was saying like, yeah, so Burning Man, blah, blah, blah. They talked about the water and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, okay, so if you don't know what's Burning Man, it used to be a really cool thing, but not anymore. Like, it used to be about against the money and against the capitalism and blah, blah, blah. And it's no longer the case. And people fly in with jet planes and things like this. And he said, like, it used to be really something really cool and it's not anymore. And then I would like to address this particular bit because I've heard this from various sides. I've never been to any festival where the old folks say it used to be better. It is the building block of every festival that the participants are going to tell you that it used to be better. What's more, if you watch a documentary about Burning Man from the 90s, I think there was a documentary, 90-something, and there was this guy, there's like 20,000 people in Burning Man at that point, and they say, it used to be so much better, now there's all these new people, and now it's like, it's changing, but it's changing, it changed so much. I've never been there. I still freaking love it. And I accept that it's going to change. Well, ask me in 5 years, maybe I'm going to hate it as well. But the fact that when you go first and you experience this freaking magic, it hits different. So of course the first one for you is going to be completely different. For the new virgins, it's still going to be amazing. And yes, of course we have, I met this guy. He was just hanging out and we accidentally found him, and then he said that he's there ever since for 17 years or something. And we asked, okay, how it used to be? And he's like, well, everybody's like glorifying the old age. But frankly, there was a lot of bad things as well. Like, there were all these people, and he called them cockshirt people. So this is when the episode is going to be 18 and above because of my language. But so there were people who were just wearing a shirt and nothing underneath. And they would just like walk around and check out what sexy things are happening around the playa, if you know what I mean. There were way less security. They did not talk about consent the way we do right now. There's so much talk about consent in Playa. So they said it was, this particular guy said that it was actually, it's getting actually better. He also said that the sparkler ponies are part of the deal, so we just need to cherish them that and be happy that they are there. I'm still working on that one, but I think he is actually right. So why am I such a big fan? And I said that I'm going to talk about how Burning Man healed me, and it gets to do with the safety that this guy was telling that it was not there before. So last year, when I went, there was this amazing experience of mine. So this experience actually happened last year, but there were signs that I should have. Anyways, let me just tell you the story from the beginning. So when we get to our camp, we arrived to Burning Man in the first place. I woke up in the morning and I decided I'm going to go for a solo adventure, because getting to Burning Man comes with its own challenges, and maybe the people, your Burning families, maybe you need a little rest from them from time to time. I love you guys if you listen to this, but on that particular morning I decided to roam out by myself. And I went to semi-accidentally, to this kinky camp where I was looking for something that I didn't find. Let's not get into details on what I was looking for. But it was something that I was a little bit ashamed to admit. So I went to this camp and I walked up to the bar and I asked this guy who was at the bar, saying like, hey, so I walked up to the bar and I wanted to ask, where is this thing that I'm looking for? Which is, you know, I was a little bit ashamed to ask. And I didn't dare to ask, so I just like walked up there and I was like, can you get me a beer? So he gave me a beer and he asked me if I want to play, if I want to roll the dice. And there was this dice and two dice and there were a multiple of questions that, not questions, but like things that you should do if you roll, I don't know, a number. And I was like, well, okay, sure, why not? So I rolled the dice and I rolled a 7. And it said naked bartending for 20 minutes. So I immediately was, well, I don't think so, maybe. And he just looks at me, he takes the dice and is like, well, whatever, it's okay. Don't worry, you can roll the dice again. So let me stop the story here for a moment. This is the first place where this happens in a game like this for me. And it happened 4 years prior to this. I went to another bar where I needed to draw a card, and then the card said, show my boobies and say tiddy tada, which I also said, probably not. So apparently the player really wanted to see my boobies. So this year when I rolled the dice and I said, it was really cool how they both, like they react always the same time. They don't pressure you to do that. They're not even like, they don't wait for a no. They don't go like, come on, roll the dice. Come on, like it's just a game. Don't worry. Like, you know what I mean? Like if it's not an enthusiastic yes, then it's a no. And we can only learn this by practicing how freaking amazing it feels when it happens to us. That you don't have to convince the other person and you don't want to do something. It's like you have the right, the 100% legal right to say, I don't, not to do something that you not want to do. I hope you got it. So I roll the dice again, and guess what? It's a 7 again. So he's laughing, the bartender is laughing, he's like, well, I don't know. I'm like, well, I laugh as well, I'm like, all right, let's do it. I had this big hair, like dreadlocks and all these colors and whatsoever that I made for the burn. So I kind of could hide behind it. And I went in and I stayed there for 2 hours instead of 20 minutes. I had a blast. The reason why I had a blast is because I realized that up until this point, I had two misconceptions about me being naked when other people are not. Number one is that I thought that I'm going to be judged. But this is Burning Man, so nobody's judging you. I mean, they would judge me probably if I would do this downtown Lisbon, where I live right now. But there, obviously, nobody's judging, like, and not even judging the fact that I'm naked, but also they don't judge my body. They don't go like, oh, you shouldn't be naked, like, look at that body. It's like, it was all the things that I might have seen on myself and I might did not like about my body. Nobody gave a fuck about it. It was amazing. And then the other thing that I really noticed is that nobody tries to do anything. That's, I'm safe. Nobody comes and nobody thinks that I do this because I have an agenda with this, that I'm like an advertisement for myself. My nakedness is not an advertisement for sex. I was just naked in that particular bar and served people drinks and also made them play the same game, which was hilarious. And after these 2 hours, not only I think I was so liberated, and I know how stupid it sounds. I know how stupid it sounds, but I felt so liberated of these two things, that there's nothing to be ashamed of and I'm safe. So these are the two things that on that particular day, first few hours, I already started to feel this amazing effect. But then something happened. There was somebody who crossed the line, and I'm not going to get into details on how he crossed the line, but it was it was a guy, and then he kind of did not understand that we are not there for his entertainment, us girls, or like I'm not there for his entertainment, and he seriously crossed the line. And I went back with my friend. I had two really close friends with me when I went back to confront this guy with his whole camp, who was only guys, by the way, high on cocaine, unfortunately. That's why they were actually, I think, crossing the line, but it's not an excuse at all. My friend Tom told them, like, hey, why did you disrespect my friend? They looked at me and they said she was asking for it. Which triggered me so badly, goodly, I would say, that I stepped forward and with massive crying, I told these people, like, listen, we dress the way we dress on Burning Man because we feel safe, because the men in this little society that we build respects us and respects what we want. And if you don't understand this, then you should leave Burning Man, because it's not for you, because you don't understand why is it, and you're going to be toxic for this. The reason why I flipped out so, so badly is because I realized finally, for after a long, 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 long time, I felt safe and I was betrayed. And I realized that this is the safest place for me where I've ever been. And it felt like, you know, when you have like a headache for a long time and it suddenly stops and then you finally feel healthy. Right now, you don't feel the health itself because it's a normal thing for you. But when something comes in and it takes away your health, and then the health comes back, then you're like, So I felt like that with my safety. I felt that I don't think I ever feel safe. And the reason for that is because, unfortunately, I cannot dress the way I want. I cannot be as sexy as I want, because I have a reason to think that people are going to hurt me because of that. And then I realized how freaking wonderful this life could be if we could dress the way we want and express ourselves the way we want. We could, us girls, we could be so goddamn sexy if we are not scared. Like that's the sexiest how we could be ever, when we are feeling safe. But we cannot turn a switch on. We need to have the environment where we feel safe. And for me, Burning Man is the environment where I feel super safe. There's a few other places on the earth where I can feel that. And I talked about this with other people as well and other girls. And many of them are like, well, I don't know, I barely feel that. But I think what happens is that if you never felt so safe that you don't have to look back when you're walking home alone and, you know, all these things that we always need to be careful of, then you don't know what I'm talking about. And actually, I'm really grateful for this guy to cross boundaries and say that I was asking for it. Yeah, by the way, I'm sure that you are curious. He did apologize. He did understand what's happening. He wanted to hug me. I was like, no, thank you. But I think he understood that what he did was super, super, super bad in respect of the whole community sense of what we are experiencing. So yeah, so he did apologize. But the reason why I was really happy for him that he did this, because it shed light on this aspect. And now I feel that it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to feel safe. And that I want to get there. And I know that we have so many allies here who will help us build a safer environment. So yeah, there is a lot of things that actually this experience or art festival brought to me. This was one of them, and the No Judgment is the other one. As you could see, I'm still struggling with that one. But and of course the safety, it's another thing, and also accepting my body. It was another beautiful gift from the Playa. So when I hear all these news and all these bullying about 80,000 people, 70,000 people who got stuck out there, probably having the time of their lives, as I know them, it just makes me sad, because I am not a superficial person, and I can vouch for myself not being a superficial person. And I feel that the people who are out there are the kindest, most free, open-minded, helpful people. And yeah, I can imagine that there were a few people who left a few things out there, but according to the news, now there are not too much trash out there. And there's many people who went back and collected their cars or their stuff that they left out there. And yeah, so I feel that many people are attacking Burning Man because they think they're just these rich kids. And there is this one last principle I wanted to talk to you about that might be a little bit in danger according to social media. I did not expect it when I was there. And then it's the radical self-reliance, which means that you bring everything for yourself and you take everything with you. And there is these plug and play camps somewhere. I think I saw them. And I can see that there's a few people who have zero skills on going to the desert by themselves. And I don't know these people personally. I can imagine that there's a few people who have different talents. Let's just put it this way. For example, DJs, they don't get paid to play on Burning Man. Artists, they don't get paid to be in Burning Man at all. Like there's no money for that. So I can imagine that they have a little help if they're more clumsy on radical self-reliance, and maybe that's kind of the payment for them. And I think there might be a few tech guys who use this opportunity, but the majority of the people, they don't. And that you can only experience if you go and check this whole thing out. Last, there's one last thing I want to say. I can't believe I'm talking for 1 hour now by myself. So many people say that it became this rich kids playground. I'm not rich, unfortunately. I will be, but I'm not rich right now. And I don't know where they get that it costs so much money. It does not cost a fortune. For me, as a European, yes, it does, because I need to buy plane tickets to go to California mainly. And then I need to rent cars. I need to buy a lot of things that I don't need later. But now we have, for example, we have a system, we have a storage room, and we give it to people, to other Europeans. So we didn't go this year. One of our friends did go. She and her friends used it. So we shared the cost of the storage for this year, and next year, hopefully we're going. And therefore we don't need to buy new bikes. I have my clothes out there in the storage room. I went to Burning Man with a carry-on, guys, with a carry-on. Yes. And I get all my stuff in there. You don't have to buy expensive clothes. And then the rest of the things that you need to bring there is your own food and drinks. That would cost you a gazillion times more if you would need to buy it on any other festivals. Just go to Sziget Festival in Hungary. You can get a beer for a beer is like 10 euros. And here you bring your own beer from like the local grocery stop. So you bring your own everything. You bring your own food. You can eat whatever you want. You bring your own water. That's what costs you a lot of money that you need to spend ahead. And we never do that anymore. We always just pay as we go. It doesn't cost you more. And I think there might be a few things that you need to pay. The U-Haul that you need to probably rent. You don't have to go off with an RV. I went first we built, as Europeans, by the way, we built our own tent from scratch. We had this hexayurt thingy, which was really amazing. Second year, we miscalculated the size of the car, so we could not bring the panels for this. So we ended up just camping with normal tents. Last year, 2022, was extremely hot and then extremely dusty. And I was fine. It was okay. I could survive. It was absolutely fine. So you don't have to spend a lot of money. Yeah, Europeans, a little bit more. But it's not for rich kids, I have to say. They also say that only the rich kids can get in. It's also not true. I don't know anybody personally from the organization or some tech guys or tech companies who gave me the ticket. Some friends of mine gave me the ticket because they get more because they were smarter on getting the tickets. There is a system that you can use to, if you really, really, really want to get tickets, you will get tickets. Everybody told me this. It's true. I had a friend who flew out from Hungary and he sat at the gate and he got a ticket. I mean, he needed to pay for it, but he got a ticket eventually. You get a ticket if you want. Some haters are going to hate me for this, but it's okay. So to conclude, the reason why I did this episode now and I felt like, should I do it? Because I was actually not out there this year. But yeah, I just want to protect the whole community. And I wanted to, because I don't care about the haters. If you're a hater, don't come. But I care about the people who are interested and they think that what they see on social media is reality. I mean, it's 2023, guys. Social media is not real. In this case as well. I think in this case, the biggest difference I've ever seen in my entire life. So I really hope to see you out there. If the playa calls, then you should definitely go. If you like this episode, then please send me an email and let me know how you found it, or follow me on Insta and just send me a DM. Slide in my DMs. It was nice talking to you. Bye.
You are listening to the In Search of Something Different podcast, where we talk about new ways and ideas on how we live, work and connect. If you like this episode, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating as it helps in this world. And also, you can say hi on Instagram. You can find the show under In Search of Something-Different. I'll come back to you soon with the next episode, but until then, don't forget to stay curious.